The houses in these settlements are round. They're about 10 to 15 feet in diameter. This would be enough to hold, to house a family, a small family. So they're not extended families, it's a parent, children, all living in what we call a nuclear family. I mentioned last time that a site that yields a specific type of pottery is often the source for the name of a period, and we saw this with the Halaf pottery that I discussed last time. We'll talk about the Halaf settlements today, and also the Ubayyad settlements, which follow the Halaf ware. Remember that the Halaf pottery was very highly decorated. These are really artistic pieces that are quite lovely, really some of the loveliest pottery that survives from Mesopotamia. Most of it was found in the north and the west. It dates to about the 6th millennium. Since this pottery was hand-painted, we can start to think about how a profession developed, specifically the potter's profession. But we'll also be able to use this as a way to explore technology and social hierarchy. So the hand-painted pottery was perhaps used by the elite because it is so, the clay itself is so fine and the decoration is so artistic. It's believed that it was reserved for use by the elite. Now, who these elite were, did they belong in temples? Did they belong to a political elite? Were they somehow economically of a higher status than the others in the community? We don't know. But when pottery is reserved for certain groups, and it takes a long time, we start to try and reconstruct a social hierarchy. Not everyone has it. Another aspect of the industry of pottery making is seen in the way that the pottery's made. At this point, we don't know who the potters were, if they were men or women, but we do know that other people who lived in this community were willing to provide the necessities of life so these potters could create wares for them to exchange. We start to see increasing economic specialization around the late Halaf period, around 5400, and a critical development in the technology of pottery making, the use of a turnet or a pivoted working surface. Now, this is not a potter's wheel, although we'll get to that shortly, because the turnet requires that someone physically move the wheel. And there's a difference between that and a potter's wheel. What's important is that this circular movement lets the potter decorate the exterior of the pot wherever he wants. And we see a shift in the style of decoration from the beautiful animal designs and perhaps even textile-inspired designs to lots of geometric designs and concentric circles, which is far less exciting for us to look at. But it does show that there's an interest in making this craft easier, perhaps increasing the production of making pottery, which shows some sort of demand, perhaps even opening the profession to those who are less trained, making it more available to other people in the community. We see that Halaf pottery covers most of northern Mesopotamia, and then in the mid-6th millennium begins to stretch down into southern Mesopotamia, which is where our earliest cities will develop. If we turn our attention to the south and start to look at these settlements, one of the first questions we think of is, who are these people? Where did they come from? This is called the Sumerian question, as in, who were the first Sumerians? Remember that we refer to southern Mesopotamia in the early part of our course as Sumer. How scholars try to answer this question shows how challenging it can be to interpret prehistoric evidence.